Hey, we're going to continue the hour now by talking about a new study recently published out of UNC that's found a connection between social media and brain development in adolescents. Study that looked at middle schoolers in North Carolina and found the more time they spend on social media, the more sensitive their brains became to getting social feedback from their peers. Recently published in the Journal of the American Medical Association Pediatrics, Kara Fox is a doctoral student in psychology, one of the co-authors of the study. And she joins us here now in the studio to talk about it. Kara, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us, that was like the 10-second summary, but tell us about the study, what it entailed, and what you found.
Yeah, that was a pretty good summary. The study was longitudinal and followed kids over time because we're trying to answer some questions about media and development. We followed about 200 kids who filled out a survey indicating how much they check social media. And then they also did a brain scan every year.
How long did the survey go?
The survey lasted multiple years. Our study just looks at two time points.
Okay.
Each year, kids underwent an MRI scan to look at different areas of the brain. They completed tasks in the scanner to elicit activation in certain areas and social processing. And what we found is what you said. Kids actually started out differently. There were sort of two groups that we found. Kids that check social media more often, which we call habitual checkers.
Mm-hmm.
Those kids started out less sensitive to social feedback, became more sensitive over time. And then interestingly, moderate to low checkers started out higher in sensitivity and decreased over time.
Really?
Yes. So what the study shows us is that different media behaviors are associated with different trajectories of brain development. It's sort of a foundation for future study because we don't really know what that means yet. All we can say is media behaviors are associated with changes in brain development, or at least different brain development. And we'll have to look at different outcomes that that's connected to it to figure out what that means.
That's really interesting because I was looking at the study and the report about it, and I thought, well, like, it makes sense that you look at social media more often, you become more sensitive to, basically, you want likes and upvotes more than you did before, right?
Yeah, so the way we measured it is they completed a test that was designed to allow us to measure activation in areas that are associated in anticipation of social feedback.
Mm-hmm.
That social feedback can definitely be in the form of likes, notifications, which is really interesting to think about because that was not something that existed before social media. We weren't able to look at numbers to see like how many people like us or how many people, you know, commented on our post.
Yep.
And so social rewards and punishments are different.
Yeah. It also struck me while I was reading about the study that, oh, well, people are like naturally more sensitive to that, then they would be more inclined to check social media more often. But that's not the case then, right?
Yeah. And we don't really know what the increasing sensitivity means. So it could be that these kids then have a higher threshold for getting their needs met
mm-hmm.
in terms of getting social rewards. That could come before kind of a risk for anxiety and depression if those needs aren't met. But it also could be indicating that the brain is just sort of adapting to its environment. Adolescents are growing up in an environment that is largely digital now. And so this could be just that we're seeing the brain adapting to, as kids are checking social media, the brain is just learning that this is the environment that kids need to navigate.
You mentioned like habitual checkers of social media and people who don't check social media that often. Like what's the threshold? How much checking social media makes you a habitual checker?
Yeah, that's a really
asking
good
for
question.
A friend.
In our study, we looked at it as more than 15 times a day. So we combined, this data was collected before TikTok was sort of dominant among
a thing.
Kids. So
yeah.
It was the three most popular in the study at the time. So Instagram, Snapchat, and Facebook. We added up the amount of times that kids said that they checked social media to create kind of like an index score of number of times checking social media a day. And habitual was anybody who checked more than 15 times, which was, I was surprised that that wasn't kind of every kid, just
right.
considering my own habits.
I was going to say, right?
Yeah.
That actually makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're speaking with Kara Fox. The study that we're talking about was recently published in JAMA Pediatrics, Journal of the American Medical Association. And we're talking about the relationship between the amount of time you spend on social media and the extent to which you're sensitive to social feedback. And we were talking before, like you've spoken with members of the media and people who've looked at the study and talking about this in sort of like an automatically negative way, like, oh God, this social media is warping our kids' minds. It is shaping them in various ways, but like you said, it could be more adaptability than anything else. So what are we seeing as the effects of this on kids, both positive and negative?
Yeah. So adolescents have always been very social creatures. They're wired to value social information, social relationships above everything else. A lot of really important tasks of development that are happening in adolescence happen with peers helping out. So like identity exploration and development there. So it's always been this way. And for kids that are growing up now, a lot of that is happening online. So kids have always been super affected and shaped by their social interactions, and now some of that is just happening online. So this isn't necessarily something entirely new to panic about. It's kind of normal, actually. It's what we would expect. We're not able to say whether what we found, the different trajectories of brain development, are good or bad entirely. I feel like some of the areas that we're trying to explore, questions that we're trying to answer in our lab and just social media researchers in the field in general, are sort of looking at how social media can connect kids, make them feel connected, make them feel validated in their identity, give them a space to express themselves. And also there's some interesting things with activism, like kids have access to information and are sharing information, recruiting others to causes that they care about. Lots of really cool stuff like that that's happening online that is good, which makes sense because kids wouldn't use social media if it didn't benefit them.
Right.
And then some of the risks, I feel like many of us being users of media kind of recognize some things that concern us when we use it. Like maybe we feel like we have a hard time pulling ourselves away from the device. Maybe we feel stressed about being connected all the time. And just seeing the degree to which adolescents are tuned into their social worlds and social media scares us. But a lot of the risk, it's very dependent on how you are individually as a person, which is something that we're trying to explore and identify so we can figure out what are some resilience factors, what are some risk factors, and certain types of media activities, interpretations, responses to social norms. Sleep is a big one.
Okay.
Social media, if kids are staying up late, they don't have boundaries with technology, it can mess with sleep quality and amount of sleep, which can kind of cause a whole other area of problems.
Also personal experience, I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Speaking again with Kara Fox, again, one of the co-authors of this study that we're talking about, and I know the research is still not preliminary, but there's still a lot more to be done and explored, but any lessons yet that we can take from what we already know for parents of kids, teachers of kids, policymakers?
I think this study is a really great first step to answer a lot of questions that researchers have been wondering about, but also just, you know, all of us using social media and thinking about these things. It confirms a little bit of what we suspected already, is that social media is related to different trajectories of brain development in kids. So I think that's important that people are aware of that, but also we need to get more information about what that means so that we can give specific recommendations on that. In the meantime, just thinking about habitual checking, reflecting on how happy you are with your own use. Do you feel like you're checking too much? Are you happy with the amount of time that you're spending on there? And a really good way that parents can help out kids is just to talk to them, because kids love to talk about their media use. They love to tell you all about what they're doing on there. And it's good to have that open channel of communication open so that parents can, one, monitor sort of what their kids are doing, and two, like, talk with them about all of those things I just mentioned. Like, are you happy with your use? Does it align with your values? Are you using it for any kind of purpose? Are there things that maybe, you know, are affecting you badly? Maybe you're feeling bad about yourself sometimes when you're using these platforms, and just kind of get kids thinking about that in conversations.
A study recently published in the Journal of the American Medical Association Pediatrics. Kara Fox, co-author of the study. I'll have to wrap up there, but thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.